Hey y'all, hey, this is Dr. O here, and you are tuned in for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. And tonight I am joined with the one, the only, the gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Well,
I mean, ladies, it is as real as what you see on this the camera. I'm telling you, very attractive.
I appreciate
and amazing
you.
And intelligent entrepreneur, producer, Swift.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you having me here. That intro, like, wow.
I mean, come on. Look how fly. Trying to match my fly.
Yeah.
Look how fly. I love the jacket. You know, great minds think alike with the, you know, the locks and the, you know, the colors. You know, we doing good. We doing good up in here.
Sure. No, you look beautiful. You look amazing. But the intro, I was like, I don't know if it's the wine or if it's, you know.
Well, you know how we do wine on Dr. O After Dark now. So it,
yeah.
But it's definitely not the wine.
Yo, I really appreciate
you. Fine in real time.
I think I'm too humble.
Maybe it's the wine because I'm rhyming now. Wine got me rhyming, but not.
We gotta do a song, yeah. We gotta do a song.
Oh, don't start. Give me a beat.
We're going to listen.
Dr.
After this,
O, don't you know?
Hey.
I think that's all I got. But I got a really cool flow. Oh!
It's the wine. It's definitely the wine. It's the wine. But hey, after this, we can go in the studio and do something for real.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us more about that and your production with movies and music, and definitely get me in the studio.
So, you got to keep drinking the wine, like, and then you go in the studio. That way, you just, because you are natural right now, you know. The last thing I've done so far is a movie. I produced my first movie.
Okay.
So it's called Prisoner of Love. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Tubi. But it's about relationships.
Okay.
It's about relationships between a few different couples on there, a woman and a woman, a man and a woman, another man and a woman, interracial couples. It's pretty cool. Very diverse group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a film. Some of it was produced in my apartment here in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then some of it was produced in other places we had in Atlanta.
Okay.
But I myself, I'm not in it. You know, I'm not in it, but I'm one of them.
See, I mean, I'm already going to watch it because I'm going to support my brother.
Appreciate it.
But I was going to watch it about 5 times if you was in the
they keep
starring
people keep
role in
me
a relationship,
yeah,
and they had a nice scene.
I would love that. I would have loved that. People keep saying, are you in a movie, No, I'm not in a movie, I'm background. My apartment's in a movie.
Okay.
You can see that. My bed is in a movie.
All we get to see if it's a bachelor pad.
It's a bachelor, it's a bachelor pad for sure. Yeah.
It's a bachelor pad for sure, ladies. It's a bachelor pad for sure. So tell us a bit more about you besides being a bachelor from St. Louis.
Oh my gosh. I've produced music as well. Before the movie, like going back, I produced music for some major artists, like Chingy.
I like it when you do it right.
You know, I gotta
That's
do the hometown
boy.
First. I gotta
That's
do the hometown
boy.
First. And then I produced for a lot of local artists in St. Louis as well.
Cornell.
I mean, no, I haven't. I haven't done your boy. I've done Chingy, but Nelly.
I don't got
nothing with Nelly. It's crazy. Shout out to Nelly, y'all. Yeah.
Baby, my love.
Yeah, straight up.
Check out your boy Swift. Hometown love, and y'all both kind of be.
That would be dope. We gotta do something.
So.
That wouldn't be hard to do, though. It's not hard to reach out to him.
But you know, oh, it won't?
No, I know too many people that know. It's a phone call.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, that's easy.
You're just a phone call away. Shimmy, now, shimmy. Yeah. Now, you know, when they first came out with the St. Lunatics, really my favorite, who I had the biggest crush on, was Tori.
Okay.
You don't know what it is.
You gotta tell me the stage name. You naming the government name.
Exactly, because that's how
deep it goes.
That is. That's how me and my boo do.
Yeah.
Murphy Lee.
Oh, okay. I never knew that. Yeah, you know, in St. Louis, we only do street names. Stage name, street name.
Unless you know, you're their love and dear to their heart, then we call them by their
first
name.
Never knew where dirty name was Tori.
Then we call them, dirty part.
I never knew that, man.
So there was this time in Pensacola, Florida, and I was in the Navy, and it was about 1999, I think, when Murphy Lee was promoting his album.
His solo album?
Mm-hmm. He came to Pensacola, and I worked with a nonprofit and a charity, and I also used to work with Roy Jones Jr., shout out to my boy. And so he had got me connected and things like that with Murphy Lee and the St. Lunatics and so on and so forth. And your boy, he called the young girl who was in the hospital. I believe she had cancer at the time and had like a 2-hour long conversation with this young lady. It meant the world to her, unfortunately, because she was in isolation. She could not have any visitors. Otherwise, he said he was gonna come up there and visit her. But he was, and still is, the stuff. He's the stuff. But that don't take away from you, Cornell. You still.
Yeah, women love him, still.
I mean, do you not see why?
Shout out to Nelly. Shout out to Mo. Shout out to Mo Dirty. Shout out to Mo.
So tell me, what was life like for you growing up in St. Louis?
St. Louis is unique. St. Louis is, it's not like any other city I've ever been to.
Okay.
I've been a lot of places, like I've been across the world. And St. Louis is like, where I'm from the hood. I mean, I grew up in Cool Valley. A lot of my friends lived in these apartments called Winhurst.
Okay.
Section 8 apartments. Mm. I was in a house down the street from it, you know. But it's the hood. And then my grandma, she lived in Ferguson, which is, you know, a few miles up from Cool Valley. And she lived in a nice, like, secluded area, but it's still the hood. Like, it's off West Florissant. Delwood is right across the street. So it's all the hood. It's just there's certain parts are like just a little bit safer than others. But from where I'm from though, it was pretty tough. It wasn't the projects, but it was Section 8 and it was the hood. You know, it was a lot of shootings going on. A lot of violence, like just petty violence, you know, like people kill each other over rims, you know, spinners, their car, like jealousy, you know, stupid stuff like video games, Jordan tennis shoes, you know, just, man, dumb stuff. Like it's just stuff that costs $200 or a couple $1,000s. But to me and to you know, us, then, like, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I thought $2,000 was a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wasn't, you know, in on that type of, you know what I'm saying, silly stuff. But if I had you know, couple thousand in elementary school, I would have definitely probably went crazy. Like, oh man, I got $2,000. But
especially in elementary school, I mean, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and she think $20 still is, maybe that's just because, you know, I, you know, educated and raised her, but she think that's rich, and let alone, you know, $1,000 in elementary school.
So
I think that, you know, for anyone, you know, that's at that age, that's a lot of, you know, a lot of money.
Yeah. So, I also grew up like, as a landscaper. Like, my dad, he owned a landscaping company. So we like cut grass in the neighborhood.
Okay.
And then we start cutting like grass outside the neighborhood. So I was always in the hood, like north side. It's these, it's this place called, I mean, they all out of business, but like Hollywood Video. It was like Blockbuster.
Oh, you telling your age.
Like Hollywood Video. Like, so we used to cut those, but then we'll cut McDonald's.
Okay.
We'll cut Popeyes. Oh, you know Popeyes off Natural Bridge at Kings Highway? You know, right there, we cut that. So I grew up cutting Beaumont High School. Vashon, like, we was cutting them schools. Even on the south side, like, I was cutting, you know, this is me at, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old.
Wow.
You know, and then even in high school too, but, I mean, that's all I did to make money. Like, just
so let me ask you, how did maybe that experience with your dad and working in the business and landscaping maybe shape you as to where you are today, and as well as some of the things that you were, you know, maybe exposed to just through your years growing up, the neighborhood that you grew up with? You know, do you see a connection between any of those things and lessons or just experiences of how they impact you today?
Yeah, for sure. Like, it turned me into a hustler, number one. Like, that, doing that helped me become a hustler.
Okay.
And learn, you know, I just learned how to just hustle. Even if you don't have a job, like, you have to make money. That's really number one. Like, you gotta make money doing something. Like, we're not gonna sell drugs, we're gonna go cut grass, or we're not gonna steal or rob or kill, we're gonna go cut grass.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool to do that instead. And you know, make a little bit of money. And then it also shaped me. Like, I mean, I learned like how to move too. Like, I already knew how to move because that's where I grew up. But like, each hood is like different. So I knew how to stay safe.
Okay.
So Southside, it was a lot of prostitutes and druggies. But then Northside, you gotta watch out for bullets, stray bullets. So we knew like, all right, we gotta be a really early. Now I'm about to curse.
Hey.
It'd be a certain type of people.
This is after dark.
It'd be a certain type of people that don't be up in the wee hours of the morning. So if we knew we had to cut on the north side, like, we would jump up super early and cut and knock it out. We'll be done way before, you know, rush hour.
Got it.
But on south side, I could like, go on south side, on the south side in the evening and be good. I'm just dealing with prostitutes, which I ain't paying. You know what I'm saying? So it just shaped me to learn like where I'm from, and to also learn to appreciate where I'm from.
Okay.
Because like it makes me who I am, and I'm happy to come from a place of learning how to work hard, learning how to hustle, and learning how to maneuver. And I keep repeating that because when I go to like New York, I've been in New York a lot. I've been to New Orleans.
Okay.
I'm trying to think like places that got some grit to it, you know. Like, I've been to LA. I've been to some tough places in LA. And
you've done some international travels.
Yeah, but I wasn't like in no like.
Oh,
I'm talking about like on some American hood stuff.
In the shanty.
Yeah. So, I'm not scared when I go to those places.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not looking for no problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking for no issues. But when I've walked through like Harlem, which it was like, I was like, oh, they don't play.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to New Orleans, I was like, oh, they don't play. I was like, I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
So I know how to maneuver. I know how to stay out the way because I'm from St. Louis.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it.
And I know you're shout out to New Orleans. But Baton Rouge, we don't play. Just
nah, y'all don't. Y'all don't. I don't think no part of New Orleans play. Like, y'all tough.
Baton Rouge is the capital.
Capital of what?
Louisiana.
Oh. What I say? I think St. Louis the toughest place in the world, no. Man. Man, St. Louis so dangerous.
Chrissy
should tell you.
Yes, hey.
She's not on camera right now, but she got some stories.
I heard that. I heard about that right there. Uh-huh. Yeah. See, I'm learning.
Man, that place ain't no joke.
So, you know, before you told me you was from St. Louis, I would not have guessed you were from St. Louis.
Yeah, I know. Everybody say that.
I was waiting for that How Stella Got Her Groove Back, Taye Diggs, sexy Caribbean accent come out.
I wish I had that. I wish that was me. I wish I could
That's
say
the
that.
Character you I'm need from, to play when Thomas. I tell you, when I tell hey, you real. With the green eyes.
I wish I could tell you
beautiful,
that.
Beautiful, soft, fair skin, the natural dusty blonde. The locks.
Thank you.
My God. So, tell me, you know, a little bit, I guess, about my perception by first seeing you, you know, that maybe you're from, you know, the island or somewhere like that, mm-hmm. but about maybe like your family and things like that, and family dynamic growing up, your mom, your dad, you know, so on and so forth in St. Louis. Are you all originally from St. Louis?
Man, I don't really know where we from. Like, I want to say, but like my biological mom, how can I say that? She's mixed. She's mixed. She's black and white. My dad is black. So I'm 25% white, but I'm Irish. It's 25% okay. Irish. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I know as far as that. And then, you know, I'm 75% black.
Yeah.
I tried to do the whole family tree thing. I'm still working on it.
Okay.
But, you know, we're African-American, you know, for sure. For sure. But the dynamic is like, you know, it's some diversity. Like, it's some mixture going on, but definitely more black than white. I didn't grow up with my biological mom. Like, I never had a relationship with her growing up, like ever. Like from as long as I can like remember being conscious to being all the way like 19, that's when I met her, like for real.
Oh, wow.
That's when I was introduced to her. She hit me up on Facebook. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I went and linked up with her and I met like two, three other brothers I had. That she had with her, you know, her new husband. I only met two of them. One of them I never even met. And they're like, their dad is Mexican. So they're like okay. black, white,
and Mexican.
Yeah, black, Irish, and Mexican. And then my dad, I grew up with my dad and my stepmom though.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've known her my whole life since I was conscious. Like, I've known her since I was, like, she's been my mom since I was, you know, like, four or five years old. So I got an older brother. We have the same dad, same mom, but I got two younger brothers that my dad had with my stepmom.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're just
so black. You have two, so your mom and your biological mom and your biological dad.
I have two.
Have two.
Yep.
And then you have two with your biological father and your stepmother.
Yep.
Okay.
And then my biological mom has another three with a guy, with a Mexican guy.
And your sibling, I don't know if it's a brother or sister, with both of your biological mom and dad, are they older or younger?
They're younger. They're younger.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're the oldest between
I'm the second oldest.
But between you and your mom, your biological mom and your biological father?
I'm still second oldest. Damn, that gets confusing. It's like nine siblings, yo. Damn. I'm second.
So it's three of you guys total.
Nah, so it's this is tough.
Biological mom, biological dad.
They have two.
Yeah.
So I have an older brother.
Okay, so you're the youngest.
Yeah. I'm the youngest of those two. Of the two, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, how...
Why do black parents gotta make it so difficult, man? You know what I'm saying? Why we gotta be bouncing around?
Well, what we learned from that is not to continue that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You ain't gotta be bouncing around. You ain't gotta, you know.
Yeah.
Don't you... Thing hang low, let it wobble to the
floor. Not tied
in the knot, can you tie it in the bow? Can you throw it over your shoulder? Nah, we too grown for all that.
For sure.
Now I can see why you may want to spread the wealth for all your gorgeousness, but you know, we don't have to.
We don't have to.
Yeah,
if you choose to. More power to you. You know what I'm saying? That's it. For real. But, you know, if you don't have to, you can just, you know, be patient, deal with the ups and the downs.
Ebbs and the flows.
Yeah, it's going to happen regardless of who you with.
We'll be so good in the studio together.
Sure. No matter who you with, you're going to do this in every relationship, man. Every relationship, you're going to do this. I don't care what you think.
Is that Tony Braxton?
Yeah, that's Tony. Yeah.
Yes, you know, that wasn't, you know, my best, but around.
You know, she go pretty deep. She go pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta get you some hot tea.
I do. But deep, I'm kind of feeling the Eartha Kitt. That's kind of Eartha Kitt. Grace is fire. Jones.
You can stop at Eartha Kitt. She's fire.
That was my girl. That is my lady. Mm-hmm. So, back to your upbringing, mm-hmm. I wanted to know how was that for you to have your biological mother reach out to you on Facebook, no less, and find out that she has a whole nother family?
I thought it was catfish at first. I don't know how. I thought it was like, it seemed weird. But when I linked up with them, I felt like, why now? You know what I mean? Why at 19? Like, that's kind of weird. You should have been trying to establish something when I was much younger.
Mm-hmm.
But she was kind of breaking down that she wasn't able to, you know, for whatever reason. I don't really know if my dad blocked her from seeing me.
Okay.
Or if she blocked herself, because I heard all these different stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to call my dad a liar. I don't want to call my biological mom a liar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what to do.
Yeah, what to do.
You know, because everybody's story is a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's three sides to every story, so.
Absolutely.
You know, I just tried to hear her out, but it's always been awkward. You know, it's uncomfortable. It's like, I don't feel comfortable even. I've met up with her several times after that, several years after that.
Okay.
You know.
And do you still have a relationship with her today?
Like, yes and no, like, not like it's on Instagram. I don't even have her number. Like, I think I have her number. Maybe she doesn't have my number, but like a little bit on social media. Like, just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
only because like the few times that I've talked to her, you know, I just have questions. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And the questions, the answers that I get to the questions, sometimes they make sense. Sometimes right there at the moment, but then when I go and think about them and let it set in, sometimes the answers don't make sense, and it's just so confusing. So. It's hard because of that, but also because I don't, and I've told her this, I don't feel connected. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even You know, I'm sorry to say this. This may really hurt you. I've actually told her this, but I don't even feel like you're my mom. Like, I don't even feel no... There's no feeling. Like, yeah. I don't look at you and feel like, yeah, that's me. Or there's zero energy connection. It's just nothing. It doesn't even exist.
Do you have that with your stepmom?
No. I don't. But how that's another story.
Yeah. So how was your, let's go into that. How was your upbringing with your biological dad and stepmom?
Yeah, so that was cool because she was great. Her energy was great. She loved me the best that she could. And her and my dad, you know, they really tried. They end up sadly, you know, getting into a divorce or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like when I was getting out of school, I don't know why. I don't have an answer to that either. Because at the beginning, they seemed really happy. And, you know, they had my two younger brothers.
Okay.
And Elijah and Nick. And then, you know, they were going through ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Some of it seemed, you know, like, you know, they were going to get through this some days. And then some days it was like, you know, what's going on? I don't really know. And then they eventually, like, I remember when I got to, like, I think like my senior year, they were really getting along, like, on a whole nother level.
Okay.
Which I always had that feeling, like, they'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they'll figure out how to, you know, be what they want to be as far as their compatibility and, you know, how they, you know, deal with just the day-to-day. I was always confident in their relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I loved her and I love my dad. Then I don't know what happened. Like, I still to this day, I can't even give you an answer because I've tried to get the answer, but I haven't. But out of nowhere, they got a divorce.
Wow.
Because I was like, damn, that last year I was there because I moved out as soon as I was done with school.
Okay.
Out of nowhere, they just was like in a crazy situation. Like, they were like, I never even seen them yelling at each other like that, arguing with each other. And they just went their separate ways. And she said he did this and that. And then he said she did this and that. And then I was trying to hold on to something that they didn't want to hold on to. And then that, like, dissipated our relationship. So I don't even have a relationship with her anymore. Yeah, like, she cut me off. And then I was really confused. And, you know, her side of the family was saying that, no, you're not cut off, which I could see that from them.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, she really cut me off. Like, it's hard to communicate with her to a certain degree. And so I still love that whole side of the family, though. Like, mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't really talk as much, but I don't have any beef with nobody. Mm-hmm. I don't have beef with them, with her, with my dad, with any parts of my family I don't have no beef with, but it seems like that though. But I don't. I just moved to Atlanta and everything just went in different directions.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
Understood. So, thank you for sharing a whole lot. What we talk about oftentimes is what's considered as developmental trauma or complex trauma. And what that is when we experience traumatic events or trauma during our developmental stages of life and how in some ways we are frozen at that time and how because we're frozen at that time or that age, it impacts us in our behaviors and our beliefs today. So when we experience trauma, you know, oftentimes we develop what's considered as these negative core beliefs. So let me ask you, knowing that you were 4 years old when your mother was out of your life.
I think she was out, honestly, but she was out before that though.
Okay. So from your earliest memory, knowing that she was out of your life, how did that make you feel about yourself, about your mom not being a part of your life?
So it only bothered me. It didn't bother me. Okay, so it only bothered me when I was going through like, I remember being in middle school and I was playing basketball. And I remember out of nowhere, like it was so weird. I felt uncomfortable and a little, and only a little bit. It really was really like sixth, seventh, eighth grade.
Okay.
Like I would go to the games and I look up in the crowd and I was like, damn, nobody looked like me. Cause like everybody is black, right? But I'm like, damn, I'm pale as hell, yo. Like, I'm like, damn, yo, like I need some melanin, you know? And it was like bothering me. Like, it was like an identity thing. It was like weird. Like, it was like, you know, I wanted to like blend in. I didn't want to stand out. Like, I didn't want to be like, yo, who is super pale? Like, this dude, like, dude look white, albino, whatever. And it just, I didn't like that. Like hooping and like just looking in the crowd, it's all these people here. And I was like, damn, maybe I do need my mom around so I can identify with that so she can make me feel more comfortable.
Okay.
Like she can nurture me to comfortability.
Okay.
You know, it was like that was in my head, but I didn't know what like, what nurturing was. I didn't know that, you know, women, your mother has these nurturing capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I didn't know what it was called, but I knew the energy.
Okay.
Because I had friends, you know, and when they would go through things, you know, as in the middle school, you know what I mean? They would always run to their mom.
Mm-hmm.
Their dad was the tough one, but if he was around, but they'll run to their mom and it'll be like this certain calmness that would like reassure them.
Were you able to run to your stepmom at that time?
No, because that type of connection wasn't there.
Mm.
Like she was definitely supportive for sure. Like,
yeah.
Definitely supportive. But nah, she didn't have that effect on me.
Okay.
To like get me to like take a deep breath and just relax. It's not a big deal. Like, dude, you tripping over your skin? Like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
It's cool. You know, it was that their reassurance wasn't there. So
how did that make you feel like about your biological mom? Like, did you feel? Did you ever think about or feel loved or cared for or, you know, special or anything of those natures, you know, in experiences like this when you wish that she was there and she was not and has not been?
Yeah. I did wish she was there, like, just for that. Nothing more, like, to be honest, because, like I said, I didn't have, like, a connection that I felt was missing. It was only with the identity thing. I feel like a lot of people that are mixed with, you know, like black and white or whatever, I feel like some of them have these like an identity crisis thing. Because your people, like in my opinion, you're black, right? When you're mixed, if you're mixed with black, right?
Yeah.
But you get treated a certain way because some people think you have like this little bit of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've never got like a special privilege from having fucking, you know what I'm saying, my bad, 20, a little bit of, you know, white in me or whatever. It's never been, even if I look a certain way, it's like, I'm just looked at as like a pretty boy or something. But it's like, I don't get like an advantage when I go to a white environment, community, like, I'm on probation right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm on probation right now till I got 8 months of probation left. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get like, and people used to think that, like, oh, he could, his card, he could use that a little bit. When it's like, no, I get treated one way.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I just look this way, there's no special treatment.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that kind of goes more deeper than just like being mixed or being biracial, because as you mentioned, a lot of people who are mixed, they identify as being Black, and mm-hmm. it then goes more into colorism,
yep.
that light skin versus dark skin. And you know, when you look at it from your standpoint and you say that, well, I don't have any extra privilege for the 25% of white mm-hmm. that's in me, when others may look at you as a whole Black man.
Yeah.
Versus a, you know, whole fair skinned Black man versus a darker skin. And they'll say, okay, well, fair skin, pretty eyes, et cetera, when white America sees you, may have more privilege because naturally you're closer to yeah, them. You yep. may be, you know, yep. Where a darker skinned person is passed up for a job, you know, because lighter is brighter considered right. and lighter is, you know, less threatening.
Yeah.
You know, and all of those, you know, type of things as well. So we can go on and on and on, you know, in regards to, you yep. know, just the impact of, you know, colorism from both sides. How long have we ridiculously been in this, you know, color war of, it's, you know, light-skinned guys versus dark-skinned guys and so on?
Can we talk about
it?
I hate that, yo.
I mean, I like all the flavors.
Yeah.
All Baskin and Robbins 31 flavors, Ben and Jerry's, every single one. Dr. O loves you.
Straight up. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. So I would love to, you know, just kind of hear a little bit about, you know, maybe some of the things, if you ever felt like, you know, some core beliefs of what we may often feel like is, you know, especially with your, you know, identity, some identity struggles is, and being disconnected from that side of the family. Sometimes when we experience events that impacted us in a traumatic way growing up, we internalize and conceptualize negative core beliefs like I'm unlovable, I'm unlikable, I'm tainted, I'm stupid, I'm inadequate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Does any of those kind of resonate for you? Or do you have any of your own that you can think of that you've, you know, kind of, as we say, have an automatic thoughts that has come across?
I'm pretty confident. I only, you know, went through those things, like I said, in middle school. Mm-hmm. But as I gotten older and matured, you know, on my own and figured out what was what and like what I was missing and all of that, then, you know, I definitely overcame that. Like, okay, it is what it is, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It is what it is, the way I look. And yeah, women like it, you know, for sure. But I guess it's hard to talk to somebody about it. Most people it's hard to talk to about because, oh, you get all these girls, man. Look at you, man. You got this, which is cool, but it wasn't about that. It was more like people feel comfortable when they see other people that, you know, me and you have locks. Mm-hmm. You know, look at your style and look at mine. It's flattering, you know. It's easier to coexist and to move cohesively a certain way. So I got over that and just over just maturing, like, you know, just realizing like there's other parts of the world where people look different. Yeah. And all of that, because where I'm from in St. Louis, it's not the most diverse place. Mm-hmm. You know, like where we're from is where we're like the core of St. Louis, like as far as where I grew up, it's just all Black people. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like that until I reached the final high school I went to. It was called Pattonville, because before that I went to McClure. Pattonville was just like all like majority white people. And then you had like a bunch of Africans. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But you had like Ethiopians, mm-hmm. Eritreans,
yeah.
Nigerians, but they're from different tribes.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
It was mainly white people, but then it was super diverse with the black people.
Got it.
Versus McClure and Ferguson Middle School. I went to Ferguson Middle School. Shout out to Ferguson.
Shout
you know
out
what
to
I'm saying?
Ferguson.
I went to Ferguson. Shout out to Mike Brown, RIP Mike Brown. So when you're at Ferguson, or I was actually supposed to go to Berkeley Middle School.
Okay.
Which is, you already know, Berkeley, yo, Berkeley go down. People scared of Berkeley, because I went to Cool Valley.
They were scared. They were scared.
Scared of Berkeley,
they
yo.
Were scared. Of Berkeley.
So, everybody is just black. It's what we eat, what we do, the way we move, and it's like, we're from St. Louis. We don't know nothing else. We don't know anything else. This is all we know.
St. Louis, the fried rice.
Of course. Of course. Wait, that's we can't even get into that.
Yeah,
that's
gonna, yeah. I hear so
can't get
much.
No St.
I mean,
Paul and...
You know,
oh my God.
Little pizza. What's pizza?
And the Emos.
Emos, yeah. Yeah, that, what did I say?
Udo, shout out White Castle.
You know, yeah, White Castle, Emos, all of that. Shout out just a little
shout bit. Out to the best steakhouse downtown, yo. Shout out to the best steakhouse.
What's the name of the best steakhouse?
The best steakhouse.
Oh, that's the name. Oh. Shout out to the best steakhouse.
Yo, St. Louis is so bold. That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna call it the best steakhouse. I used to go there for lunch in the middle of cutting grass. I'm downtown. When I'm crossing from north side to the south side, because you know you gotta go straight across on Grand Boulevard. Man, when I'm done cutting on the north side, I gotta go south side, I stop at the best steakhouse.
Like, you wouldn't be able to even do that without all of the lessons that were instilled in you from your dad. And I'm so happy to see that despite, you know, the trauma and tranquilities that you've experienced in life, that you have done your own work, because you definitely have the confidence. I don't know if y'all heard him in there when he was like, yeah, the ladies definitely love it. And he was like, yeah, so we got that, you know, ladies definitely love it. So tell all the lovely ladies and, well, this is ATL.
Oh, man.
Everybody,
yes,
that loves to follow and want to learn more about his films, his productions, his music, want to follow my vocals as I, you know, la 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 la, and spit the beat a little bit.
We're gonna do that.
Where can we find you, Swift?
IG, Bad Guy Swift, BadGuySwift. That's where you can find me. Just go to IG. IG gonna link you. When you click the link tree, it'll link you to all the other stuff.
All right, y'all. Y'all heard it.
You sure we covered everything?
Bad guy. Bad guy. Bad guy, bandit, the green eye. Man, ladies, y'all see how long these locks are? You know what you can do? I'm just telling you. Bad guy, bandit.
I'm too
humble. I'll at your boy.
Thank you.
I love you, baby.